This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
In 2018, Indian hockey was suddenly facing an existential problem. The key national sponsor Sahara pulling out. But when everyone else hesitated, a soft-spoken former New York socialite turned longest-serving chief minister of the country stepped in with a 150 crore check for both the men's and women's team. The first state ever to do so. Naveen Patnaik became the man of the moment.
Hockey in Odisha is more than a sport. It's a way of life, especially in our tribal regions, where children learn to walk with hockey sticks.
When it came to finances, suddenly Sahara was exiting. Hockey India didn't have a sponsor. It was also around the same time that we were building up for Tokyo Olympics. Mm-hmm. That is when they came up 150 crores. That's like a hell lot of money in Indian sport, especially for a non-cricket sport. That kind of changed the dynamics, the economics for Indian hockey in many ways.
It surely did. And with Indian men winning a hockey medal at Olympics after 41 years and the women set to play for another, the role of Orissa and his chief minister gets amplified even more. Not just for being a sponsor, but as a springboard. Flicking, dragging, scooping, dribbling its way to revive Indian hockey's lost glory. It's rare to see a commercial ally become the cradle for an entire sport and then go on to become the nursery for several others. How did it do so? And why? Since when? We will try to seek all the answers in this podcast. We will also talk to someone who is actually ensuring that excellence from the grassroots is recognized early on and nurtured in the right environment to excel. For change has to come from the soil itself. From the Economic Times, I'm Arijit Barman. It's August 6th. Our colleague from the Times of India, Manuja Verappa, whom you've just heard, has been travelling to Orissa for years to see the transition up close. For someone who has been covering the sport for close to two decades, she readily admits, Orissa is indeed Indian hockey's best-kept secret. That's the tagline from the state's tourism department, but you will realise why it's pretty apt here as well. But let's go back to 2018 first. To really understand the significance of that multi-year sponsorship deal that we were talking about right in the beginning. It was truly a crunch time. The Multi-City Hockey India League, modeled on IPL to glamorize the game and make it mass, was floundering. Corporates were acting coy to open their purse strings, and even states where hockey is hot were in two minds.
Ye India ek maidan hai, jahan khelta sara jahan hai. Hamari bas ek hi bhasha hai. Hockey, hockey, hockey. India mein khelegi duniya.
I don't think anybody made a beeline to support hockey. After that 1980 gold, it was downhill for them from there on. So in terms of visibility, it was very limited. They come into relevance every 4 years when the Olympics is around the corner.
Correct.
So Sahara was a long-time supporter of Indian hockey. When they backed out, there wasn't much coming in. You know, you always had these small players, like, you know, you'll have a car company which will give you a man of the match of a hatchback car in the nationals.
Correct.
That used to be like the biggest deal for most of them. But to have a sustained financial deal where, you know, you're getting X amount and this is how you can plan your programs, that wasn't coming through. This was a partner who was looking at developing sport, not necessarily taking direct mileage out of it. You didn't have somebody who was saying, okay, I need my returns. Orissa's return on investment was always development of sport.
That was it. A long-term commitment to nurture and nourish the sport. Cricket in our country has and always will have several deep-pocket corporate backers. But despite being the most successful field hockey team in Olympic history, the sport has lost much of its oomph and backing at home in recent years. Many of us still consider hockey our national game on the back of the 8 Olympic golds that we won till 1980, but don't know anything about the latest offside rule or the rolling substitutions or even the 4 quarters. By the way, there's no offside rule in hockey any longer. In Orissa, though, there has always been a sporting universe outside of cricket. And true to his nature, Naveen Patnaik's decision was not an impulsive one, but was well thought through. The state, especially its large tribal region, has always been home to some of our finest athletes. Several Indian captains for both men and women's hockey are from the state. Both the vice captains playing in Tokyo are from Orissa. When hockey is already in your DNA, are you surprised the state sent a former captain, Dilip Tirke, also known as the Wall, to the parliament?
कहते हैं ओडिशा के जो सुंदरगढ़ जिला है, जिला के अंदर जितने भी मैक्सिमम गांव ट्रेवल्स एरियाज गांव्स हैं, वहाँ के हवा में, वहाँ के पानी में, वहाँ के ज़मीन में और उनके लोगों के खून में हॉकी है। कोई भी जो लड़की देखने के लिए जाते थे, सो लड़की घर वालों ने पहले सवाल करते थे कि लड़का जब हॉकी खेलता है तब आगे बात बढ़ाएंगे। मीन इस तरह का हॉकी क्रेज था उस दौरान।
When you think about Odisha hockey, you actually look at the tribals who come out from there. For example, in the current men's team, you have Birendra Lakra and Amit Rohidas. Both of them are from Odisha. Two of the defenders in the Indian team right now are from Odisha. You also have in the women's team, Deepa Grace Eka, who's been phenomenal on ground. She's from there. They have traditionally been strong players, essentially in the defense. If you actually go back and see somebody like, say, Dilip Tirke. Dilip played about 400 matches for India.
Right.
But for them, I will say the pioneer was Lazarus Barra, who, of course, played many years ago. But he kind of sowed the seeds of hockey at an international level for them. If you look at the topography of Orissa, it makes you rough, it makes you tough, but it's also very academically backward. So a lot of them use their physical abilities to move ahead in life. So what is it that you can use your physical abilities for? Manual labor, sport. A lot of them channelize this physical aspect of theirs to go ahead in life for a better living.
That means getting government jobs and long-term economic security, which many of them actually do get.
A lot of these people get employment, whether it is the Tatas, whether it is railways. A lot of them are employed with Air India, BPCL, ONGC, the petroleum guys.
Yeah.
So in terms of breaking away from the routine that they have, their lifestyle, they look at sport as an outlet.
But for the chief minister, it's also about connecting with the youth. Direct, dil se. and harnessing their raw energy. Tourism, a key revenue driver to the state's exchequer, also feeds off from it as a byproduct of the state's sporting culture.
Their long-term investment in sport probably didn't start in 2018. It's in their DNA, and we've had a government which has supported that. The Patnaik government that prevails in Orissa now, they have, I think, been real game changers in terms of what sport gets. I remember they had a vision statement which said, sport for the youth, youth for the future. To connect youth to the future, you use sport as a tool.
Not many know this, but Naveen Babu himself was a hockey goalkeeper while studying in Doon School, and even today remains a true blue fan and possibly the game's biggest ambassador in the country. Waking up early mornings to watch the matches in Tokyo, or even sending a congratulatory message to the teams.
Congratulations, India. What a terrific game our women's hockey team played against Australia. Keep it up.
To be very honest, I've covered sport in many states across India, including Karnataka, where I live. I have never seen a chief minister who's so involved in sport. It's not that he just comes there, cuts the ribbon and goes off, or, you know, he's there for your final or makes a token, you know, appearance. You have Naveen Patnaik there at least a few times during the course of the tournament. There's really not much fanfare about him coming in. And he's somebody who comes in and oversees the preparations. Behind the scenes, he's done a lot. What I honestly feel is his investment in administrators. There's a huge battery of bureaucrats involved in building sport.
The reflection of this sporting agenda, says Manuja, is also seen on the roads.
So as you get out of the airport, and if you're heading towards Kalinga Stadium, which is a massive structure, either side of the roads are lined with artwork. Artwork which is depiction of Indian sport. For example, during the Hockey World Cup or the FIH World Series final, you'll find these huge paintings. You have paintings of players from across the world, not necessarily Indians, not necessarily from Odisha. So, you know, they kind of, when you wake up in the morning, the first sight is that of a hockey player. You have these massive stadiums, the Kalinga Stadium, a part of which is the hockey pitch, massive, can accommodate 20,000-25,000 people at any given time. You have a whole lot of these school children who come in. So in that way, you're making sport as a spectator accessible to the youngsters. So you have these 15, 16-year-olds who are coming and watching a Belgium play, an Australia play, which does leave an impact on them as youngsters if they are keen on taking up sport.
Let's ask someone who is actually spearheading this hockey renaissance ground up in Orissa. Rajiv Seth, a former first-class cricketer, now oversees the High Performance Centre in Bhubaneswar, where since 2019, hockey players, both men and women, have been coming to further hone their skills, stamina and strength to face world-class rivals.
High Performance Centre is supposed to be catering to not just all the needs of the athletes, which is about the physical, the nutritional, the mental and all those things. Also bringing about the state of art technology into play, the state of art coaching into play, and the early exposures which an athlete can benefit as they go about doing their journey.
These centers of excellence are also unique as it brings together the state and the corporates in one of those rare public-private partnerships that actually function smoothly.
The sole objective of this initiative is to be the nursery for the federations at the national level. You have a private player like House of Tatas in case of hockey, which we are. And then there is the public sector point and the government point, which is where the Odisha government comes forward and plays a very big stakeholder role of providing the entire infrastructure, which is required for such a world-class high-performance center. So this is an amalgamation of two strong bodies coming together for a common cause. We, as private players, we have a complete clarity on our role that we have to ensure the entire operations of the high-performance center. And the government has a clear-cut guideline that they need to provide everything that is required from the infrastructure and other resources point of view.
So the Tatas take care of training, coaching, food, kits, the education of the athletes, while the state is responsible for infrastructure. That is the ground, stadium facilities, and even lodging. But unlike most other programs, it's not top-down, but bottom-up.
Odisha provides such immense talent in the grassroots that it was absolutely a big miss if one would not be there. So we started with 10 grassroots centers in the thickly, densely hockey-populated district of Sundargarh. And typically, Sundargarh, over the period of time, has produced some great, great hockey players and enormous talent. So we started our 10 centers there, which were more of a feeder to the sports hostels, which are run by the government of Odisha sports department. And what we did was that we are in the grassroots. Then we have the regional development centers in these sports hostels of the government. And then we have top of the pyramid is the HPC, which is the high performance center.
Spotting talent and nurturing them is one thing, but exposing them to the right infrastructure early on is equally important to help them adapt to the new ways of the game that has dramatically changed over the years. So the state has stepped in yet again. Sundargarh, the fount of raw talent in the state, is in the process of having 17 AstroTurfs, one for each block.
It's like a carpet bombing of hockey. You know, so you are present in the densely populated hockey belt of the state. You are also present in the state-of-art facility, which is available to a youngster generally in the general terms when you go to other states, only when they come to the academy or they come to the junior to senior level, which is about 17, 18 years age for the junior and 18 above for the senior. Imagine here, in this case, a grassroots player or a cadet or a trainer at the age of 8, 9, 10 is getting an exposure on AstroTurf, the norm of the day, and which is getting stronger and stronger, as you would have seen in this Olympic with our both Indian teams doing very well. That the, you know, that's the game changer, and which is where you have provided them right at the start, and the coaching, complements that. And once they come from that exposure at an early stage to, say, a regional development center, which are the sports hostel, which is already provided with AstroTurfs, they are not in a shell shock situation.
To put it in perspective, a tiny country like Netherlands, whose entire population is probably less than that of Orissa, has around 1,200 synthetic turfs. In the whole of India, we have around 120. So now you understand why the Dutch have been excelling in the matches of late.
The Hague rejoices a seventh world championship for the women in orange. Australians have come a long way, but they just couldn't come far enough to unseat the queens of world hockey.
Osaka puts it into the top corner. There is the final hooter, and Alison Annan and the Netherlands are the World Cup winners once again. They successfully defend their title that they won in The Hague 4 years ago.
Sundargarh is just a start. Patnaik actually has a plan that involves far and wide, from big centers like Rourkela to even religious seats like Puri, all are set for a makeover.
Cuttack has already held the Commonwealth in table tennis and all. So you can imagine it's the flagship events which Odisha has brought to fore. And with Rourkela, the new stadium coming up for the forthcoming Men's World Cup in 2023, absolutely world class. And it has almost a capacity of 30,000-35,000 and state-of-art stadium. And imagine the kind of thrust it will give to hockey and other sports. This is a hockey stadium predominantly. And there are other stadiums also coming up. In Rourkela, there is another stadium, you know, with Sai. And likewise, there are other properties which are around. And good part is, Government of Odisha Sports Department is building the infrastructure in places like Berhampur, Puri. You know, these are densely populated towns, big cities, and they are very much part of the entire ecosystem of sports here. And in my view, infrastructure is the key to any development in any state. And Odisha is making that stride very fast.
Manuja agrees with Rajiv that the blueprint is to make the entire state a laboratory of legends.
It's not only about world-class stadiums. To feed athletes into those world-class stadiums, they have already set up regional sports complexes. For example, there are something called the satellite stadiums, which are in the pipeline in Odisha, where places like Rourkela, Cuttack, Sambalpur, these places will have world-class facilities, which may not match up to what is in Bhubaneswar, but it's good enough for you to produce a champion athlete. If you do not have these facilities, if players continue to play on natural grass or gravel without turf, by the time they come up, you know, by say 15, 16, 17, when they start coming and playing, they'll spend a better part of their careers playing catch up in terms of acclimatizing and getting used to the infrastructure that is made available to them. You know, it's like catch them young, groom them well.
The entire state machinery, from its own enterprises to flagship programs, are chipping in to foster talent.
If you look at the way they built infrastructure, you'll realize they're one of the most enterprising states when it comes to support. And there is long-term investment. I'll just give you a small indicator of how it works. The 2019-20, the state youth services budget of Odisha was 266 plus crore. That is how invested they are. They have roped in their own subsidies to support. In terms of their mining industry is one of the supporters of Odisha sports. So within the government machinery, they draw money from other resources to run programs.
It of course helps to spread the word when you start hosting top international tournaments at marquee venues like the Kalinga Stadium in Bhubaneswar right from 2017-18. From Hockey World League in 2017 to the Men's World Cup a year later, from the FIH Men's Series Finals to the Hockey Qualifiers of 2019, and even the FIH Pro League in 2020, the juggernaut continues. Odisha is once again to host the 2023 Men's Hockey World Cup. These exposures also double up to toughen the mind and the body, something that we are seeing even in Tokyo, despite the false starts.
What it does to a team is it offers you home comfort. And you are taking on the best in the world in your backyard, which means it trains you early on to deal with pressure. Playing in front of your home crowd you can look at it two ways. One, you thrive on the energy. The other, you have to sustain pressure that comes from being the home favorites. India has virtually played almost all the top teams in the world in Odisha in their backyard. When you go into, especially for the youngsters, for example, we went in with 11 first-time Olympians. They were not overawed by the infrastructure or the grandeur of the stadium in Tokyo. They were used to world-class stadiums. They knew what a practice pitch looks like under lights. These are things which we had very limited exposure to in India before this. I think the success, irrespective of the color of the medal or even if they finish or don't finish on the podium, the men and the women's team's performance, it's obviously built brick by brick over the years. It is also a reflection of what a proper channelized system, even if it has come from a state government, can do to build a sport.
This clearly has been a story of sacrifices, resilience, grit, and most importantly, vision. I say sacrifices when I see both men and women camping together for over a year in a bio bubble in Bangalore, in the middle of the pandemic to train for Tokyo, away from family and friends, missing ghar ka khana. I see grit when our athletes don't give up even when seven of them, including both captains, test COVID positive, or when the entire state administration works non-stop to make the Olympic qualifiers a success at the Kalinga Stadium just weeks after Cyclone Fani wreaked havoc and left behind a trail of devastation. I see resilience when a player like Vandana Kalra, the first woman to score a hat-trick in Tokyo, lost her life's anchor, her father, while in camp, but chose not to quit but keep chasing her Olympic dreams. I see vision when a state like Orissa successfully takes up the hockey experiment with the Tatas and ties up with other leading corporates like Reliance, Aditya Birla Group, Dalmia Bharat for other sports and disciplines like archery, shooting, weightlifting, or even sports science and management, roping in past champions like Anil Kumble, Abhinav Bindra or Gagan Nara to build an all-encompassing ecosystem. If that's not sporting enough, I don't know what is. I'm Arijit Barman and you've been listening to The Morning Brief.
Thank you Manuja and Raji for sharing your stories. Deeply appreciate it. This episode was edited and coordinated by Nehal Chalianwala. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com, and if you like this episode, please share on your social media handles. We'd really appreciate it. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursdays and Fridays. Thank you for listening and have a nice weekend. Goodbye. Good luck. All external sound clips used in this episode belongs to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.